will, please.
Here comes the lady who isn't going to be with us after a while. She's going to be leaving. You know, she needs to get her priorities in order.
Wow.
Yeah. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The problem in the Galatian church is that they started out by grace, and through wrong teaching given to them, they started to incorporate keeping some of the law, what we call Old Testament law. And the Apostle Paul uses the book of Galatians. Now remember, Galatia is not a city. The Thessalonians. And the book of Ephesians is to the church at the city of Ephesus. But Galatia is a region. So there was more than one church. And remember, we're talking house churches. They didn't have buildings of any sort back at that point. Now, it didn't take long until, as the church grew, they couldn't meet in a home, and so they'd start using the local library or whatever they kept. And so the book of Galatians is to these churches to let them know that they started by grace, and therefore they have liberty. They are not bound by the law. However, he noticed early on that the brethren, he needed to remind them they've been called to liberty. But there's a responsibility with that. And he says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use the fact that there you can do this, you can do that, and you're not under the law. You have liberty. But he said, don't use that. Don't misuse that, we'd say today. Don't abuse that. And he says, by love serve one another. So for the individual, it's important that they don't use liberty as a blank check to be able to sin.
Amen.
Okay? But it involves others. He says, by love serve one another. When you use liberty to do things in a manner that you shouldn't do them, then that can be a hindrance to other people. So by love, serve one another. Now this Sunday school lesson today is going to deal with that whole matter of liberty. The other day, Pat and I were having corn on the cob. And I observed something. We eat it differently. She eats it around the cob. I eat it along the cob.
Wow.
Differences. Which is the right way to eat corn? Or
get a knife and cut it off and then eat it.
What is the right way to hang a roll of toilet paper? Should it go over the front? Should it go over the back?
No.
Okay. Now, listen. These two things and similar things, it's not a matter of right or wrong. Rather, it's a personal preference. And surely each person in such matters will have their reasons for their choice. The Bible deals with areas that are not specifically commanded or forbidden. If something's specifically commanded, thou shalt not steal. No question, know what we ought to do, okay? When it commands us to do something or to not do something, then that's clear. Doesn't mean it's easier to do, it just means that the instruction is clear. But there are some things in life, and I'm gonna give you a list of some that I've observed through the years, by no means a complete list, is just some of the areas. And this falls under what we call Christian liberty. Now, I want to give you three things about this matter of Christian liberty. Number one, a person has been freed from the penalty of sin by faith. The Christian has been freed from the penalty of sin by faith in Jesus. Look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The debt that is owed for sin, the acts of sin, but the nature of sin. The debt that is owed is death. That's spiritual death. That's separation from Jesus Christ. It's eternal death, means forever to be separated from Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You earn death, the wages of sin. You get paid wages for what you do. But a gift, that's paid for by someone else. And in this case, it's Jesus Christ, the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Tells us it's eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. Now, the penalty of sin has been paid by Jesus. Secondly, we not only are free from the penalty of sin, but we are free from the power of sin. The way we live, okay? We are no longer unduly made to sin. Now, why was I hesitating and looking for a word? I was doing that because we're freed from the power of sin, but we must make the choice as a Christian to follow Jesus and not sin. Where before we couldn't make a choice, all we were in was sin. We were in the penalty of sin, and the power of sin was over us. We couldn't do different. But now we have what the Bible calls a new nature, and that's a whole additional subject. I simply tell you that we have a new nature, and therefore we're free from the power of sin. We're still in the book of Romans. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That old man, that nature of yours that even made you sin. That's all you could do. Follow it. But now, our old man is crucified and with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. We're free from the power of sin. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. And so we're free from the penalty of sin, and we're free from the power of sin. Now, I said unduly. You see, the old nature is still there, and Satan wants to tempt you to do wrong. And we now have a choice to make. Now, the power of sin is not over us like it was before, but it's still there. And that's why Christians do wrong things, things they shouldn't do. And so Christian liberty deals with being free from the penalty of sin, being free from the power of sin. And it also means that as Christians, we are free from the Jewish law of Moses. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Now, the law is a schoolmaster, Paul says, and it still has a purpose as far as our realizing that we have sin and what sin is to us, but we're free from it. We're not bound to it like the Jews were. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of it. The law was never intended to give life. It was intended to show man what he is so that God could give him life. Now, in Romans 6:23, we're told it's a gift. In the Old Testament, they didn't speak in that terminology. But when a man realized he was indeed bound by sin, then he could look to God and follow God, and God would give to him what he needed. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the righteousness of God is without the law, but it was witnessed to by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And it's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And so we find that Christian liberty deals with being free from the penalty of sin, being free from the power of sin, and it means that we're not under the law. However, generally, the term Christian liberty is applied to those areas of life and living. When you think of Christian liberty, you don't think of, wow, I don't have penalty and I don't have power. Christian liberty applies to areas, and you think of it when it comes to life and living and things that are not specifically named in the Bible. They're not specifically forbidden in the Bible. Today I noticed coming to church on 305 here, there were probably four or five Amish buggies. The first one I noticed, it was a single fella. And then the next three that came in a group, I noticed they were all single fellas. So they must be having a single fellas meeting today. Okay. But they were riding in a buggy, but the Bible nowhere forbids automobiles. The man-made law of the Amish forbids automobiles, but even that is for convenience. There are some sects of Amish that they're allowed to drive. One sect is able to own a vehicle, but they may not drive it. So they own it, they buy it, but they have to hire a driver. Okay? That's how man-made laws. They're crazy. And then there's some sects where they can drive it, but only for work. I know when I was out in the Meadville area preaching at a church with a friend of mine, he said he had to go to a site and see an Amishman, so we got out there, and I'm looking for the buggies. There are no buggies. There's pickup trucks, but no buggies. And I asked my friend about it when he was done, and he said, "Oh, this kind of Amish, they can drive a car, a truck. Okay, they can drive it for work, but when they get home into their yard, they park it, and they may not use it there." Now I see the puzzled look on some of your faces. Yeah, that's how man-made laws are. But we are free from such laws. But nevertheless, there are things that come up. Now, to us, an automobile was never one of them that we didn't know what the Bible says about it. But when preaching, teaching, or even just individuals discussing certain areas, Christian liberty is involved. Feelings, emotions, okay? Did you hear what I said? feelings, emotions, not so much the head, the mind, though that is involved, because when the head or the mind gets something, you know, fixed in it, then that takes care of how they're going to feel and how their emotions are going to be on it. But when discussing Christian liberty, feelings and emotions generally run high and strong. And this is ironic, because the very subject of Christian liberty, over which people become very opinionated, it stands for freedom for one man to do one thing but another man to not do that thing. I know Pastor has often expressed that he learned from one of his mentors, I can, you can't, or you can, but I can't. There are some things that I cannot do. The influences of my life, and I'll say what it is. Y'all wondering when I say something like that. Sometimes it's better for you to not know. Just know that I'm struggling. But in this case, I'll tell you what it is. And it is because of my past influence. The circles that I came out of. You see, you have Christian liberty individually. But as a congregation, that Christian liberty doesn't go away. And generally, you associate with people that are like you, for the greater part. I mean, nobody's going to be identical to you. Okay? There's only one of you, and God made it, and he made it through the mold away. And so, but you associate with people you're overall, in general, you're comfortable with. You don't hang around with people. You don't go to organizations that you're not comfortable with. And so our Christian liberty as a group comes into play. But there's no sense to argue over some things, because Christian liberty, you can, all right, I can't. And we need to remember that. And also the Bible teaches that because you can do it, you shouldn't lord that over people who can't do it. Okay? And that's where this whole business of judgmentalism comes in. Because you can do it, you think something's wrong with me because I can't. The Apostle Paul, this whole subject in the Bible deals with meat offered to idols. Now, we don't have that today. But the principles Paul taught on that subject, you see, meat was offered to idols. After the offering was done, they would take it down to the local market and they would sell it. Not a giant market, but, you know, an open-air market. And they would sell it. And some Christians said, wow, good, cheap meat. And so they buy it and eat it and had no problem. But there were other Christians, they couldn't. Their conscience wouldn't let them because it had been offered to an idol. The one could, the other couldn't. And the Apostle Paul said, even the subject of eating meat, should you eat meat or should it just be all vegetables? Man, that one's back in style today. The whole, you know, vegetarian or vegan, and won't eat anything that has any kind of meat in it. The Apostle Paul says some eat meat and some don't. But don't consider one weaker than the other. Just you do your thing and let other people do their thing, and don't go thinking that you're better because of the way you do it. Right. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. I'll get into some of that area. But we have trouble with that in the Christian church. And I don't mean just this church or the church over in Shinglehouse we had trouble with. Dale is in Eldred preaching today at Country Chapel Baptist Church. They got trouble with you. Say, how do you know that? Because churches have trouble with
it.
That's
right.
Any church you go to, how do you know that? Because they got people in it.
That's right.
And people have this old nature. When they yield to the new nature, then God leads them in dealing with and not getting all bent out of shape over something. Now, if you find yourself in a group that, you know, the group is more one way than you are, you're not going to be comfortable there. I personally, if you can't get over it, I personally have no problem with somebody leaving that one group and going where they fit in better. Now, that doesn't make them more right. It just means that they're not going to get out, bend out of shape all the time over something. You ever see that happen? There's people who've left this church for that reason. Not everybody who's left it, but through the years, some people have left it for that reason. And so, what is Christian liberty? There's five things I'm going to make a statement on here. First thing is, it is the freedom God gives an individual Christian to do something not addressed in the Bible. It's not named in the Bible. There's no clear, specific illustration by way of principle in the Bible. And this should be able to be done without fear of ejection. All right, you can do this thing, somebody else can't. You shouldn't have to be afraid that you're going to be rejected by the group because you feel different on that matter. But neither should you feel that the group is wrong. Christian liberty says some can, some can't. Number two, there are activities, even religious ones, that God does not regard. Romans, still in Romans, look at chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. You see, every group you go to, sometimes it's called an association, sometimes a convention, sometimes a denomination. If it's an independent church, then it's usually in at least a circle of people. And you go to them, and there's certain things that are no-nos. You just can't do this sort of thing. You can't live that sort of way. That's not the way the group lives. And if you're not comfortable with that, don't go there. And they have a right to do that. But you have a right to feel the way you do. And so you need to go where you don't feel constantly challenged. All right, activities, even religious ones that God does not regard. Romans 14, verse 1. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. If there's somebody that you think is weak in the faith over a matter that you have already gotten knowledge and victory, you receive them, but don't do it constantly doubting whether they're actually real or not, whether they're actually saved or not. You know, they don't believe what I believe, therefore they must not be saved. Are you warm, folks? I'm up here working. I'm up here, and I'm warm. Are you warm down there? The fans are not on. Are you warm? You ought to tell me, because if you don't, I'm going to make an assumption I'm warm. Okay, all right, then I won't turn that one on. I'll just turn this one on back here. Oh, boy, that's beautiful. Boy, isn't it going up higher? Faster.
Does that have a Ford engine in it?
Hey, now listen, don't be picking on Forks. I have Christian liberty to drive the best vehicle. But I drive a Toyota. You see, I couldn't get the real Oda, I had to get a Toyota. That's a pastor's sick joke. I learned that when I pulled up with it. The first thing he said to me, well, I see. You couldn't get the real Oda, you had to get a Toyota.
Unfortunately, the Toyota is probably the best car you can buy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope. This one's run good now for about 6 years. All right, Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Isn't that interesting? The weak one eateth herbs. A person thinks that they're so much stronger and better because they're a vegan. another who is weak he deserves. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Salvation is not based upon the things that we have in Christian liberty. It's not based upon whether you eat meat or not. But we get this screwy idea in our head that somehow maybe they're not even saved because of how they view this sort of thing. Now, we don't deal with meat today. This is not our issue. We have other issues. But you take what he's saying and you can apply it to many of them. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And then even Jewish holidays came into the picture. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Don't you do something that you have hesitation about just because everybody else does it. Or because somebody you've been talking with, they've been putting pressure on you to take their viewpoint. Okay? You don't have to do that. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And he's not wrong when he thinks different than you. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. You see, it's how things are between you and God. And how things are in the way you relate. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So when the whole thing's done, and people come to your funeral, it isn't going to matter one bit whether or not you kept a certain holiday, or whether or not you lived in such a manner that pleased everybody else. All right, number three, any part of private or public life that God has addressed, we must obey without question. And Christian liberty deals with the areas that are not specifically named or even put into an illustration. What God commands, we do exactly, and what he condemns, we stay away from. The Bible makes very clear how we need to view the Holy Word. And we're to put the Holy Word right where it belongs. And there's no liberty on, well, you can take it and still follow Jesus, but I'm going to take it and believe it word for word. Listen, we're commanded to take the scriptures. Matter of prayer. It's no issue of some being able to live without prayer. The Bible commands us to pray. Gives us many illustrations. The clearest one would be the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's never been changed. Yeah, it's in the Old Testament, but it's never been changed. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. These are all commanded. We just have to keep them. Keep them, and there's no debate over it. You can't say, well, I have liberty to not honor my parents. No, you don't. And God makes it very clear in his word. And fourth, no individual has a right to demand his preferences or to condemn the preferences of another. If churches allow it, a vocal individual, whether or not they're a leader, that they or they're just a steamroller, they can roll over everything. And so they get their viewpoint to be held as the church's viewpoint. That you don't have a right to demand your preferences become the way that the church views it and does it. Now, church might be that way. Maybe most of the people in the church hold that view, and therefore that would be characteristic of that church. But you can't say when somebody, like when they're going to join the church, well, what do you feel about this and this and this? No, you can't do that. Doesn't matter how they feel. They have liberty. Number five, the only truth worth dividing over are those matters that clearly and forcefully are specified in the scriptures. Thou shall not steal. And so we find out that an individual has been stealing. Well, they have their reasons, and it's okay with God. God loves them anyway. Yeah, God loves them anyway, but that's not the issue. They've broken a command of the scriptures. Thou shalt not steal. This subject brings and creates strong feelings. And when I get to my list, you'll understand what I mean by strong feelings. A lot of you are new Christians. A lot of you didn't grow up in the church, not consistently at least. You've been in and out of churches and so on. And so you may not be all familiar with what I'm speaking this morning. But this subject of Christian liberty creates strong feelings in every person. Now, why is that? It seems that most frequently, each person believes that his or her personal preferences are surely God's way. The way I feel on that matter, surely God would prefer that. Go to the book of Proverbs. Have to look at some Proverbs scriptures, three of them. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So the way I think about that matter, it's all right, clean in my eyes, but the Lord's looking at my spirit. He's looking at my attitude. Really, what I do on that or don't do on that doesn't matter so much as what's my attitude about it. Chapter 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Huh, listen, if you take my view in this, it's going to be so much better for you. You're going to be a better person. You're going to be better in your Christian life. Now listen, godliness is important. Whatever view a person takes on any of these areas that we would put under Christian liberty, godliness is the end determiner. You have the liberty to do what you want, but does it help your godliness? If it doesn't help your godliness, then what you've decided on that matter isn't worth anything. Okay? Always remember that. Does it help your godliness? Does it help your walk with the Lord? Or does it hinder your walk with the Lord? And so 20 verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it? You see, does it make a man faithful? Does it help his godliness? Sure, he has a liberty to do it, but it's hindering him. Chapter 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. My view is the right view. But the Lord, he's looking at my heart. Okay? And even though we do not have activities that correspond to the pagan meats and the Jewish feast days. All right, now I'm going to end by giving my list. It's not comprehensive. It's not everything that exists, but it's things through the years that I have observed in churches. Not only the churches I've pastored, but other churches that I've been in fellowship with. You may or may not identify with an item on this list. Health foods were versus junk foods. Okay? Spectator sports. Boy, people can get riled up over that one. The makeup on females. Now, whether you choose to wear makeup or not wear makeup, that's up to you. But that doesn't mean if somebody chooses to wear it, it's wrong. It simply means it's different than what you choose. Cosmetic surgery. How about a wife's attire? How a woman dresses. Yeah, well, sure, I understand that one. Listen, when I was teaching at the missionary training school, more than one missionary, churches sometimes use a form that they send out to a missionary so that that missionary can fill it out so they can see if the missionary and the church is compatible. When they're used properly, they can be of value to both the missionary and the church. But this, a couple different times, I had missionaries who raised a question. You know, their form wondered what my wife wears at night. Does she wear a lingerie? Does she wear pajamas? You know, the pants versus just a nightgown. And we always told those missionaries, just don't bother sending it back. Don't bother going to that church. You're not going to be compatible with it. Having a television, should you have it or shouldn't you have it? Birth control in general and some specific forms of birth control. Restaurants that sell alcohol. There was an area where we grew up in our section of Pennsylvania. Restaurants didn't serve alcohol. And therefore, we moved up here and you couldn't hardly find a restaurant that didn't serve alcohol. Boy, that was a problem. I had a brother in the church. He came to me and said, Pastor, let me try and help you with that. He said, I'll go into a restaurant that may serve alcohol, but I won't go into a bar that serves food. And for him and for me at that time, that distinction helped. Okay? And but some people, they can't go in anywhere if it's going to serve alcohol. That's okay. They can choose that. But I can't point my finger and laugh at them. A wife having a job outside the home. Boy, in some circles, that is such a no-no. And you're next to being pagan if your wife has a job outside the home. And the Bible doesn't talk about that. Whether you have coffee or tea drinking, special days like Thanksgiving, Christmas, national holidays, should you do them or shouldn't you do them? home birth versus hospital births. Boy, some people have gotten in big arguments over that. Circumcision, should you be circumcised? You know, it's not in, that was in the Old Testament law, but that's not required today. So do you have to be circumcised? I've known people that they did not do circumcisions. And then I knew others that it was just very automatic to have circumcision. But boy, churches can get in a real fervor over that one. Sunday activities, what should you do on a Sunday? I grew up that you didn't do anything on a Sunday. It was a day of rest, so that, it's a Sunday, the whole day. It was not Sunday morning. The Bible says, set aside a day. And but there are some people that do things on the Lord's day I'd have thought for sure that I needed to hit the altar if I did some of them things, okay? And what about having a computer or internet? Breastfeeding or bottle feeding? Some people have felt that, you know, somebody was wrong if they were going to use a bottle feeding. And they, you know, ran into problems like ladies can as far as being able to breastfeed. That doesn't matter. You're destined for hell if you're going to use bottle feeding. You say, I can't believe there's anybody like that. I told you might or might not identify with some of these things. Wedding rings, should you wear wedding rings? Should you wear jewelry in general? There are some places that they have made the 11th commandment that you should not wear jewelry. No necklace, no earrings. Oh my goodness, getting your ears pierced. I remember when I had talked to Pat about getting her ears pierced, that was next to, that was a big thing. That was a big thing because the circle we ran in didn't do that. You see, the circle we ran in didn't do that. And the way we changed that, we got in a different circle. Now, how hard to punish your children or how to punish your children? Should you punish your children? Time out, go stand in the corner, you know? Or should you spank them? Oh my goodness, no, that's beating them. You shouldn't do that. Oh my goodness, don't read the Bible verse that says beat a child. You ought to put that in context and understand what the Bible's talking about. But anyway, pants on females. Oh, that's a big one. And that'll bring some, you talk about people talking and emotions getting going and so on. And but Bible doesn't, you say, well, yeah, it does. It says woman shouldn't wear man's attire. Well, man's attire was a robe. Man's attire in the Bible was not pants. It was a robe. You see, they didn't deal with that what we know of as pants. So you have to take principles of Scripture and apply them. And some apply them one way and some apply them another way. And look, what about godliness? What is the godliness of the person? Schooling option, homeschool, send them to public school. Interracial marriages, oh boy, oh my goodness. Today you get in trouble if you talk about not being for interracial marriages. Dating or courting, texting, Facebooks, cards. Now that's the one I told you, I'll tell, and I gotta hurry up here. We didn't play cards. I'm talking face cards like you play poker with or euchre or those. We didn't play them. We didn't have them. And therefore, when I saw people that played cards, it really rocked my socks. But the thing is, I noticed that they loved the Lord and they were godly. And then my daughters got married, and one or two of those fellas, they played cards. Oh, my lands, they went to Canaan to get their spouse, and now look what happened. In comes all of these Canaanite-ish practices. And so play cards. I still can't play cards. You can. I can. Okay? And there's things that I can do that you can't do. This is Christian liberty. Now, I'm going to close with this. Even more confusing and dangerous is when a preacher presents such matters as final. And his view and understanding of it, he's saying it's got to be this way. And your sanctification, your godliness is determined by what you think. I've heard preachers here in this pulpit as well as through the years, they say, well, my grandmother, she this, or my mother, she that. Listen, you get your leading on what you're going to do and not do from the Scriptures and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, not your grandma. Now, if your grandma had her view because of godliness, then you ought to consider that. But even then, that grandma isn't living in you, and your mother and the way she did things isn't living in you, the Holy Spirit is. Now, if you've had a mother or godmother who were godly, then you might want to, it was a grandmother, not godmother, and so you might want to consider why they did what they did, and you might just adopt that. But it's not gonna make you better than somebody else. All right, I gotta quit now. Pastor gave me liberty. Pastor gave me the ability to finish this lesson next week, and I will need that other time, and amen. We'll continue on. Okay, God bless. Thank you.
Amen. Good.